Hello, everybody. The following is a recorded discussion of the Daily Maxims and More for January 27th. Today we discuss judicial acts and procedures.
I'm starting on the Maxims, starting down at the very first one, 65A. This is one of the most difficult ones for me to have learned. It matters not what is known to the judge, if it is not known to him judicially. He is limited to what has been said or been presented to him as evidence. Even if he knows that the lawyer is leaving something out that he should do, he cannot stop and say, here's something you should do. And that's that we always use the framework of personal knowledge. The judge is not to use any of his personal knowledge. He can only use the knowledge of the forum, what's there and on the table. Is that hard to understand? And I suppose,
in a way, yes, but I accept it.
Well, I think it eliminates a lot of unpredictable rabbit trails. Okay, it's just a rigid rule that everybody, the lawyers especially, should know. Now, the way you handle it, there's a thing called judicial notice. So you write it up, anything that doesn't, it's not similar evidence, but if you want to call his attention to a law somewhere, you write it up and present it in the folder of your proceedings and call it, you know, and you're asking the judge to make judicial notice of. You spell it out. And he can look at it and say yes or look at it and say no, but typically that's a way of getting other information in, especially if it's something that helps you. The decree or act of a court shall prejudice no man. The decree or act of a court shall prejudice no man. It's a roundabout way of saying equal justice. Okay? The prejudice can be in the opposite direction. You can let the guilty guy go free, and then the next guy is guilty for the same thing, and you would be prejudicing the one that you made guilty. Letting the other guy. When you hear him say, I think there was a court case recently that was withdrawn, but they withdrew it with prejudice, meaning that they can redo it. It's prejudice against the other party. But if they were to say it's without prejudice, then the other party's scot-free. There's nothing they can do to alter the decision. It's all, again, one of these reversal of normal. With prejudice means they aren't really letting you off altogether. But without prejudice, there's nothing they can do to come back and take up the issue again. It is the duty of a good judge to prevent litigations. That suit may not grow out of suit, and it concerns the welfare of the state that an end be put to litigation. Is that complicated to understand? Now, there's a thing called baratree. And this is, it's a crime that a lawyer commits. And baratree is when they do things in a way that is intentionally designed to bring about a lawsuit. They are instigating the conflict. They're instigating the dispute. Or they're making a dispute out of one that doesn't exist. And it is really related to them doing this sort of thing to make money. In other words, to collect a fee for their time. And so it's an unnecessary lawsuit brought on by the lawyer himself so he could make money.
Don't they all do that?
Well, you may be right. Yeah, I've often wondered how they can get away charging anything.
I thought the Bar Association was just short for baratree.
Yeah, oh, I see. Baratree. Okay, the next was that. So a good judge really shouldn't be doing things that causes lawsuits. Now, I must mention that in an admiralty court like we have today, in these commercial courts, and when they had merged equity and common law together, the judge got all kinds of power, including overriding a jury decision. And that, you know, I would think that there are times when that could justify suing the judge.
Yeah.
But you can't. So
cannot overrule the jury, right?
Do what?
I mean, a judge cannot overrule a jury.
In their equity courts, they can.
They can.
That's their doctrine. Yeah, they made the rules. The admiral. Court rules. A federal officer can lie on the witness stand.
They can lie on the witness stand?
Yes.
Well, only if they don't get caught.
No, they...
I don't see how that's... that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
It doesn't to most people.
Yeah, well...
This, they can... Because they have a private... purpose. The purpose is written such that the end justifies the means.
Well, I'm aware that they can lie. Maybe they do lie. I mean, I'm aware that they do lie, but I was not aware that that's permissible.
No, that in many cases it is. And it has to do with the end justifying the means. And the fact that it's a commercial court and all sorts of those little things. I cannot, it's so bad that I can't explain it.
Well, where's the justice? There's no justice then.
We're talking about commercial courts. It's
well,
equity.
There you have it. Commercial.
You're there in equity. You're not there in justice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
You consented to this. You consented to sell your children into slavery, and I'm sorry, Mr. Warwick. Well, and plus, you have to pay to feed them. And I can put you in chains if you are not taking care of those children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next one. A judicial writ fails not through defect of form. The way these guys write these things is very interesting, you know. If there's a defect in the form, it can't be a fatal defect. Okay? So all... And you need to know how to enforce that one.
So when you say that there's a defect in form,
if you acquiesce,
do you mean like if they give you, it's like if you have a ticket or they have the wrong address or they spelled your name wrong or whatever, something minor like that.
That's correct.
So if they have your name wrong or your address wrong, it doesn't really matter. You've appeared in court, and they can't throw that out for something small like that, or larger example.
Well, I'm not too sure about that one, because that's more of a fact in the case than a defect in the form. Maybe somebody forgot to check a block somewhere. But it is relative. You're right. I would think that they have to have your name correct, because that's a jurisdiction personam. They have to have either subject matter jurisdiction or jurisdiction over the person. And so the name is that which they are going to have jurisdiction over. And if it's not your name, then they don't have jurisdiction over you. Okay? The address, that's a different thing. That could be considered probably a defect in form. Unless there's another person by your name at that address that they've gone on there, and they've just gone to the wrong person. But it can be corrected. In other words, it doesn't cause the case to be dismissed. It can be corrected, is what that really says. Technically, it's saying, no, you can't dismiss this case over it, and you will correct it. No court which is not a record can impose a fine or commit any person to prison, because those powers belong only to courts of record. Who wants to discuss this one?
Well, so the court of record, is that when there's the actual, everything happening in that meeting is being recorded?
Yes.
If it's not a court of record, then you can demand that, or address it. You know, when you go to court, you ask, is this a court of record? Because if it's not a court of record, they have to tell you right away, right? And if it's not a court of record, then there's not really, they can't convict you of anything.
No. This is an excellent, we got to remember this one, Chuck, to elevate it to a significant point of introduction.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is, this is a clear-cut distinction between law and equity.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let's see if you can follow this now. Nature and theory of law. There's essentially, down deep, fundamentally, only two, criminal and equity. Criminal, there's a damage something or other, people or property. Okay? Theft is a form of damage of property. Now, with criminal cases, there are penalties, which can be fined, imprisoned, or both, depending on what statute says. In many cases, the imprisonment and fine value or amount can be adjudicated, can be cut down or whatever. A few years back, the Congress decided they would take that prerogative away from the judges. They rebelled and didn't win. So they have now locked them in so that they cannot shift on any of the penalties that they have if someone is proven guilty in their court. But crime, criminal common law, it's a comma in between those. Common law is damaged party, no contract, penalties and costs. The other law, the equity law.
What was that last bit?
Only the what?
Your microphone went haywire. What was that last thing you said?
Well, hang on.
You said damaged party, no contract.
Damaged party, no contract, and you can be penalized or fined. You know, penalized. My way of looking at it is no damaged party, no contract, penalty.
Penalty. Okay.
Penalty can be fine or imprisonment. Okay?
Okay.
Equity, the other general nature and theory of law, is always contract. Various forms. They've extended it to include implied, oral, you know, and written. Mm-hmm. Now, there are damages. There is compelled performance. Let me tell him I'm on maxims.
Okay.
Hello, Governor. I'm on maxims on the internet. Yes. Okay. Good. Give him the mail stop address. Number 309. Okay. Okay. Thank you. It's easier to take his on that and to wait. Sorry. Thank you.
No problem.
You still there?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to start. I have a box that I draw and I picture this in it. So that under equity law, there's contracts, a variety of kinds, and there's compelled performance. In other words, the contract involves rights and duties for each party. And one party that has a right can compel the duty to be performed from the other party in an equity court.
Okay.
We generally don't have damages, okay? Now, when they talk about combined equity and common law, in theory, we have the third jurisdiction mentioned in the Constitution. And it's spelled beginning with an A, Admiralty. So, you have in Admiralty an international contract. You have compelled performance. You have damages being paid. Okay? You know, when they, some of those decisions say an X number of triple damages, or et cetera. But you also have the penalty. So if I think about driver's license in speeding, what is the nature and theory of that covers what they do? And I'll give you 5 minutes to discuss it amongst yourself.
Well, if you're driving, you go over speed limit, then you're going to be penalized for it because there's no real damaged party. But you broke a code violation. I asked this of my lawyer, and he said the state was damaged, was a damaged party. I told him, how can the state be a damaged party if it's not a person? Or, you know, if it is, I guess, it could be technically corporate.
First of all, you used the word code. Code's not law.
Well,
what's equity?
Is it a law to go over the speed limit? I mean, like, is it breaking a law if you go over the speed limit? Or is that just a statute? Or, I mean, what is...
Let's go over it again. We have common law where there's a damaged party, okay, no contract, and penalties. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Equity. There is a contract, and you have compelled performance.
And you have rights and duties.
Rights and duties that translate there. Okay? And they're consented by, you know, knowingly and willingly consented to.
So because we have a driver's license, we have a contract, and we're supposed to act a certain way, and if we don't, or we have rights and duties otherwise, is that correct?
Which of the three that I gave you does it fall under? Where does a fine fall in the first two?
Equity.
Where does a fine fall in the first two I gave you? You have common law, which is criminal, and equity. In the criminal, you have damaged parties and fines.
There's no damaged party in a speeding violation.
Well, okay. In an equity situation, you have a contract and no fines.
So it's a combined equity and...
You're getting there.
So it's under admiralty.
Do you see why?
Because it has the combination of the two. You don't have a definite...
Yes.
A damaged party, but you do have fines.
Yes.
Okay. Boy, they've done a number on us.
Where did it come from? Where did this... Lawyers are really good at solving problems that come up in ways that... It's an innovative profession, believe me. It is not necessarily static and locked in granite.
Mm-hmm.
You have admiralty on the high seas, two ships could collide.
Hmm.
One would be at fault.
Right.
The damaged party would... This is a common law thing, doesn't it? So when he come into port, he'd file a claim against that other ship. Well, there were no ship police. Eventually, the ship would come to port that was the offending party, and they would arrest the ship. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it has value. So now they're dealing with monetary value and damaged party, which is equity and crime. And they would do that to get it paid for, to get the damaged party taken care of. So they also would penalize them if they avoided. Hey, we told you to stop, you didn't. So that we're going to take this out of you. But, and that kind of got brought over into these adhesion contracts with regard to people on the land. It's like, oh my goodness. So when they say they combine common law and equity, what they're really saying is, we shift it to admiralty. And they didn't want to tell you.
Okay.
That is propaganda using omission.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess they had dumbed down the lawyers enough for many of them not to know the difference and complain. If you don't know the theory, nature and theory of the law, you do not know what procedures to follow to defend yourself. I will tell you a story. We went into court because they had arrested my son for no driver's license. They allowed him to drive off, but he had no driver's license. So we go in and they go through this plea bargaining thing intentionally so that you have to be negotiating, which is proof that it's commercial. And so we had studied under a man by the name of Mr. Freeman.
Freeman?
And so, and that was his last name, truly. He's pretty famous. So Freeman said, you go in there and you say, okay, what is the nature and theory of law that's being used here? And the first words out of the mouth who's doing the negotiating, he said, well, criminal. He said, and quickly he asked, well, then what is the what procedures must I use to defend myself? He says, Texas criminal procedures. And then he stopped. He realized that wasn't correct. He said, no, it's Vernon civil statutes. He said, no. He said, no, wait a minute, that's not criminal then. Sounds like you're talking about, there's only two others in the Constitution, and that is equity and admiralty. So if it's not criminal, it's got to be equity or admiralty. And the lawyer goes, in equity and in admiralty, see, there's a contract. So which contract are we talking about? And he'd say, well, in equity, there's no fines. Is there a fine involved in this? And the lawyer is still dumbfounded, and he goes, no, and it's not, and he keeps going until he gets to admiralty, and he says, well, where's the international contract I signed? And with you, I've got it in a letter. We recorded it. And it goes in a round loop, circular logic. There is no end to it. And we must have gone through the loop at least 8 or 10 times sitting at that table. And the poor lawyer went from Snow White to beet red because he could not tell us. He himself had never thought about it. The first words out of their mouth is criminal. Well, see, we had a letter from him which classified it as criminal. Right off the bat, because of the fine, they automatically think of criminal. Okay? So now, they finally came to court. And we stood up. And then the lawyer for the other side stood up and said, we move to dismiss the case for lack of evidence.
Wow.
And I'm talking about the lawyer for the state. Can you tell me why?
Because they couldn't determine the jurisdiction?
He said lack of evidence.
Okay.
Lack of evidence. They couldn't find the contract. He didn't have a driver's license. A unless you acquiesce.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did that lose anybody?
Just about at the end.
Now, why did I tie all this to no court which has not a record can impose a fine or commit any person to prison because those powers belong only to courts of record? Do common law maxims apply to equity proceedings?
If it's combined in admiralty. Is that correct?
No, it's in admiralty. It's no longer common law.
Okay.
Because it must have a contract. Is that making sense? Well, so that this statement is true in common law.
Okay. So let me repeat.
Go ahead.
Let me repeat back to you. In criminal, there something is damaged. It's either the people, the property, or theft. And you have penalties, which are fines or imprisonment. In common law, there's a damaged party, but no contract.
That's
what?
That where criminal and common law are the same thing. Okay.
Okay.
In the context you're talking.
Okay.
In the context of the Constitution, when they say criminal, they're talking about a common law court.
Okay. All right.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt, but is that what you were... Ask your question, I'm sorry.
No, I was just restating what I had written down. Then, in equity, there's always a contract. And it's... you have compelled performance, rights and duties, but no fines. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Only the terms and conditions of the contract.
Okay. All right. Conditions.
If they put in a penalty in a equity, if you have a contract in court, right, and it starts out as criminal, right, and then it goes to equity, so that you can't find anybody in equity. But if you have a contract, right, where you agree to it.
It's not the contract. It's the jurisdiction of the contract. You can have a contract that's pure equity.
Mm-hmm.
It won't have any fines listed in it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Admiralty says, you got a contract, and besides that, I can fine you. Because it's international. I've got to get my jurisdiction over something that's not here normally. You got the international picture? Hey, there's guys from France. If I let him go, he'll never pay. If I let him go, we'll never get compelled performance.
Yeah.
I have no way of compelling him. That's the logic with which it came into existence. So it only applies in international contracts. And so all of these driver's license issues have to be international contracts.
Mm-hmm.
All of your contracts with the corporation have to be international. Why? External jurisdictions. You're a sovereign on the land, and they took off and created their little separate sovereignty up there on that 10 square miles. And that makes it an international contract. Even though you say your license is with the state of Texas, It is only a subdivision of the 10 square miles, administratively. Going too fast for you?
No, that's good.
Now, you're way down the line now when you begin to understand, well, those are international contracts, gentlemen, and they can finance, they can. That's why you are treated the same under that law as they would a vessel. What does it say on your maritime liens, Chuck? Does it say vessel on there anywhere?
Yeah, it does.
who's the vessel?
The straw man.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Yep. Wow.
Because they didn't want to have to get in and write law that you could read that would clarify and make it obvious what was taking place. Because you would never consent to somebody from France doing this, do you? Another international sovereignty out there. Would you? So it's when you dig deep enough, you find that the deception was rather, what's a good word, Will? You still there? Insidious, is that a word?
Yeah.
I know, I mean, is that a good word to explain it?
Oh. Sounds good to me.
I need to find words sometimes for these things that but you guys are getting an advanced course here.
We'll send you an extra check.
But it's when you try to explain this to a lawyer, he will call it gobbledygook. He does know. But it is. They must be able to tell you the nature and theory of law that they're being tried under in order for you to know the correct court procedures to use to defend yourself.
Right.
Now, you got that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if my attorney did not know. But I asked him, he wouldn't tell me what jurisdiction they were placing me, you know, what jurisdiction I was in that court.
He would just say, to him it was government. One word, government.
Yeah.
Now, let's take the if. Well, I want to make sure you understand the real technicality here. If they can't tell you the nature and theory of the law you're being tried under, you have no way of knowing what the rules of the court are that you can use to defend yourself.
Well, I guess that's why I signed the contract. That's why I signed the contract, because I wasn't, you know, I didn't know how to fight it.
Yes. Oh, yes. But I'm telling you things that they don't think about themselves. This is so fundamental. You have a right to defend yourself. Is this some secret set of procedures that only the lawyer and the judge knows?
Well, they would like that.
What kind of trial is that? I know a guy does that. I mean, that's the way he presents it. And they hate to see him coming. A secret? Are you in the same brotherhood? Like the? Are you both members of the bar?
Well, they all are members of the bar, Judge. And
Do you understand the technicality I'm describing there? You have the right to defend yourself, but you don't know which courtroom procedures that you're to use. You called it criminal, so I go to the Texas criminal procedures, and they won't apply. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Now, don't try these things on your own, because you're dealing with ignorance on the other side. They'll be thinking, but it's the fundamentalist of fundamentals. You have a right to defend yourself. I have a right to know what the rules are that I must go by.
Well, you know.
And that was the question we asked. If it's criminal, what are the procedures? What set of procedures are we to use? And he says, Texas criminal procedures. Well, those are the ones that you apply to a murder trial. Okay, they didn't read you your Miranda rights.
No, they did not.
So he realizes, well, I can't say, no, it's not that one. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
It's not that one. Oh, we lose him right now. You see my point?
Absolutely.
So the only way to defend yourself is if you know the rules and procedures that they are using and the nature and theory of the law you're being, or
the nature and theory determine the procedures.
Determine the procedures, okay.
Dictate the procedure, okay?
Yes.
And so they keep saying, well, this is a criminal offense, you know, speeding. Okay, so what are the procedures I'm to use to defend myself? And that's when they say Texas criminal, and they didn't Mirandize you under those procedures. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk. So then you've eliminated criminal from consideration. And then you say, well, if criminal is eliminated, then it must be equity or admiralty, both of which require contract. And the first thing out of their mouth is, no, it's not equity. The reason, there's no fines in equity. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
So that eliminates two. So it's the third one, admiralty, and they don't have any book of procedures on that. Admiralty.
Right, right.
And the poor man is in a, you've got him in a circular logic.
Mm-mm.
And Freeman figured that out and did it, and eventually they know it there with everybody else sitting around. Now, what I really need to share with you is there's another Latin phrase, which is non assumpsit. That means no contract. And so if you, like people used to sign their ticket and say, and above it, write non assumpsit. And used to honor it. Now, when they dumbed us down enough that nobody knew what non-assumption was, they could ignore it unless you bring it up. Hey, there's no contract. In your case, when you have gotten your secured party creditors, there's no contract. Not that kind, anyway.
Okay.
Not with you. There's still one with that straw man. But you're no longer surety for him. That contract's gone. What's that?
How do you spell a sunset?
A-S-S-U-M-P-I-T. It's Latin.
Eagle with no contract. Okay.
How are we doing?
Real good.
You learning anything?
Do we have somebody else on here? Is it Mr. Williams? Are you there?
Bud Williams?
Who's a Bud?
He might not be able to speak.
He's on the phone.
Yeah, okay. All right, so...
Well, I'll be ready for him next time.
Well, we'll be careful now. Your best bet is to take walk and just walk politely and use the ammunition. Not ammunition. Wrong choice of words.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Don't say that target thing either.
Yes. Do the use the legal defenses you have. And if you ever get to where you have a default judgment, this is what we have to learn to enforce. And we're working on that. And I really would welcome a study team to research the literature to see how default judgments are to be enforced. There's a document called a precepe, and other things, which are ways of writing a letter that identifies that if anyone subject to the default judgment does not honor it, it is a criminal offense. So,
well,
that's a good project for somebody.
That put some teeth behind it.
Yes, it did. That's actually how we got the first document through in Texas. They did the slippery eel thing on me two or three times. But I did get a constable who gave me a case number. A criminal law court case number, sheriff's court. And he did what he needed to do to serve the papers on the government officials. And then it was the default judgment, and I was contacted by San Francisco, Memphis, and San Antonio legal departments of the United States Postal Service. And they each did their bitter, you can't do this routine. And that's when my mentor sat down on his own and wrote up this. It's the only piece of paper in this whole system of using the UCC and the Lex Forum that looks really like a lawsuit. You know how the people on the front of the pages look with these typewriter-type rectangles around them? And it's precepe, P-R... I don't really know the correct word. I think I'll look in my back blacks when I get off. But it told them, gentlemen, because these were lawyers, he said, you know, I never heard from them again, and my records disappeared out of the IRS.
We need to get that paper.
Oh, I need a volunteer to research it.
I'll have to pull out another plate.
I don't need you. You're too busy. Do you have anything you want to do? I'll have to get... People in Austin are fortunate since we have the university and the law library.
Yeah.
But the internet does help some. But I got to get the correct spelling on that word for you. But it really is, it has to do with the enforcement of judgments. And again, it's one of these omission things. They don't want you knowing that.
Well, that's the missing link.
That's the real enforcement mm-hmm. missing link.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's the one you address to lawyers. The human, the CFO isn't going to understand it. And so when you send it, you say, attention, your legal department. Well, have we learned anything today?
Just a little bit.
Yes.
I mean, a smidgen.
This is no court, which is not a record, is the one that leads you into all of that, okay?
Okay.
That's quite the court of record subject. It's very powerful. None of the courts where speeding tickets are processed in downtown Austin, where you go in there and stand up before them, are recorded. This says there can be no fine. So obviously there's something different about that court. It's not criminal. Because in a criminal, they cannot impose a fine without it being a court of record. It has to be contract. Got it?
Yeah.
That's evidence. That's evidence that it's not criminal.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording.
Yeah. Yes, sir.